Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna.
Flavor Fest, what's up? Welcome to episode number 6. And yeah, if you're watching this, yeah, I'm looking a little wild, a little crazy. I got the quarantine blowout going on. I'm going to get a haircut soon, I promise. But hey, I know the last several weeks has been especially heavy. I mean, the whole COVID-19 thing has already been something that we've all been dealing with. But then in addition to that, all the racial injustice and the racism, the murder, all the stuff we've been seeing flooding the news and right here on our social media timelines, it's been just heavy, y'all, heavy. The church that I lead, Crossover Church, our neighborhood, was actually the epicenter of the protests and the looting and the burning and all that stuff in our city. And protests can be good. It's great when we have a opportunity to express our voice and that we have freedom to do that. But when it turns into violence and businesses are ruined and people's livelihoods and people lose jobs, man, it's crazy. And so my heart's been especially heavy the last couple of days dealing with all that. Our neighbors all around us, around the church, were looted. Our church building was untouched, praise God. I believe that's, first of all, God protected us. Second of all, people know what our church is about, who we are, what we do in the city, but we know there's protesters and looters coming from a lot of other places too. But by God's grace, we have been safe, but it's a crazy day when we had to literally put our church vans and trailers in front of our front doors, our glass doors, to deter looters. Never thought that day would come, but it's crazy times, y'all. And so, listen, we're gonna talk about it here on the podcast, but honestly, I think we need a break for a second from COVID and from just all the stuff that we've been going through the last couple weeks. We need to breathe for a second. So these next two episodes is actually a two-part. So part one, we're gonna be talking to Myron Pierce. He's a pastor, he's a church planner. We actually recorded this right before the pandemic hit, so I've been saving this episode for a while. And then the second part of it, we recorded just a little over a week ago as a lot of this stuff was jumping off. And it fit perfectly because he has a new book that came out that's talking about injustice and racism, and he just wrote it like in the last couple of weeks. This guy's a beast. But I want you guys to be encouraged today and hear some good news. And so I've been so impressed with my boy Myron. I've known him for several years, but we've really been building probably the last couple years more so. And so how this year, you're gonna hear the conversation here, but his story is, this guy went from prison to then church planning to still planning churches, but also now like starting several companies, some of them multi-million dollar companies, and being able to fund the mission of his church and to give jobs in his community, to bring economic empowerment, to bring justice, economic justice even, and give people opportunities that they would never get in other places. So just, I've been so impressed with this dude. I flew up with some of my business leaders to meet with him and just kind of see what he's doing. And just so encouraging. So this is a guy, maybe you've never heard of him. He's out in Omaha, Nebraska, of all places, but maybe you've never heard of him. You need to hear of him. You need to see the work this guy's doing, the resources he's creating, and he has some great stuff that we all can learn from. So here's my interview with Myron Pierce.
What's good, bro? Welcome to the podcast.
Yo, what's happening?
It's good to have you, man. Hey, listen, I already did a little bit of intro on you, so we're going to like jump right into it. But I know like last week we were hanging out and you were telling me back when you were in prison, you were actually reading my first book. So
yeah, bro.
So what got you to prison? Like, how did all that end up happening, man?
Well, man, I'm, you know, growing up, bro, like the context I grew up in, you know, like a lot of us grew up in context. Both parents were, you know, on drugs and dad a gangster and all that. So it was set up for me to fail, really. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I was 12, 13, 14, I'm in and out of jail. I'm a gangbanger. I'm selling dope. And so that really, really landed me in jail, man. And once you get in jail, I say it like this, man, it's easy to get in trouble, hard to get out, harder to stay out. You know what I mean? And so that's been the kind of pathway that I was on at a young age, in and out of jail.
So how long was your sentence for?
So I ended up with, I went to prison two separate times. So I went to prison at 16, went to prison at 18, got out on parole and didn't finish that because I violated. And so ended up with a 14 or 30 year sentence plus the sentence I wasn't done with. So I'm leaving the courtroom at the age of 18 with a 16 to 33 year sentence without parole.
Wow. So we were hanging out in Orlando last week at Exponential. Both of us had the opportunity to do some workshops there, got to spend some time and hang out. But I was like, you know, you told me you were going to St. Pete. And so I was like, yo, you got to stop by. That was the following day after the conference. And you were like, yeah, man, I want to come see the building. So it was a surprise. It was a blessing that you got to come by our growth group that we were doing for artists at the church. And so we were all packed into the Crossover studio. And we're doing this little series on a book I recently wrote called What Happens When You're Generous. And it was so funny because, and you guys that are watching this or listening to this, I did a video series each week with the book, and it's on YouTube. And Myron didn't know I was talking about him in the video. And so it was like, it was classic. And I told him, I texted him that day because I thought about it. I forgot to tell him he's on this video thing I did. And then he's coming. And we watched the video at the beginning of the group. So I texted him. I said, yo, I got a surprise for you tonight. So he was like, what you talking about, bro? I'm like, yes, it's all good. Nothing big. You'll see. So after the video, you know, I was able to point over and say, yo, welcome, my friend, Pastor Myron. He's in the building tonight. Everybody was like, yo, you the dude from he was telling about. So it was like one of the most powerful small groups that I've ever been in my life. And I've been in a whole bunch. Like God's spirit was really there. But you shared a little bit of your generosity journey and how it started when you were actually in prison. So you got to prison. Talk a little bit about the transition that happened. And then even like tell that part of the generosity journey and how you started just being generous and giving off of your big $1.21 salary per day.
Have you ever heard anything like that before?
No, bro. But let me tell you this, though, real quick. There is a dude that used to go to our church and he got locked up. And he's going to be coming back when he gets out. He gets out in about another year. He sends a tithe check to the church every quarter, bro. It's from the Florida Department of Corrections. And he sends it. And, bro, there's been times that tithe check has been as much as like $700, $800. It's normally like $100 or $200. But, I've held it up at church before. Like, yo, if a dude from prison can tithe, and I get a lot of letters from prison. He's the only guy ever. God's going to bless that dude's life, man.
Bro, I'm telling you, something fresh is going to happen to that cat.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and I can venture to say that it's dudes that are where he's at, and they're like, yo, man, what are you doing? Why are you giving your money to them people? But he got the revelation, bro. You know, he got there's no better way to level up than the first figure out that we are stewards of what God has entrusted us, regardless of where we're at, whether we're in a penitentiary or we're working in somebody's, you know, in somebody's drive through, man. And, and so that was a revelation I got, bro. I was reading Malachi. And when I got to the point where the prophet was like, will a man rob God? You know, and I was the stick up king. Like, that's the reason why I went to the penitentiary. I'm like,
that spoke to you. It jumped off the page.
It jumped off the page like something serious. And I'm like, man, I'm in here for robbery. And so God's like, the people are like, okay, well, how are we robbing you? And God was like, in your tithes and offerings, right? And when I was like, God, man, I'm already in here for robbery. I don't want to be convicted in this area of my life, right? So I'm like, yo, man, I'm gonna get this thing right. And so I started tithing. I was only making $1.21 a day when I got to the penitentiary. So I tithed on that. I tithed on that $21, right? Sending $2. And then I would send a little bit of extra, like a dollar extra.
That was your tithes and offerings.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was my tithe and offering. But every time I did that and was consistent, bro, God promoted me. So I went from 121 to 225. I went from 225 to 378 with a corner office, bro. I was the paralegal in the prison, dog.
What? Like
I was the jailhouse lawyer, bro. So I had an office. I'm like, so prison has a social class. There are those who are in poverty, those who are middle class, and those who are wealthy, right? So I moved into the penitentiary.
You were the 1%, bro.
Bro, I moved in the poverty class. I went to the middle class in the penitentiary. And then I went to the upper class, dog. I'm balling in the penitentiary, man. And I got a side hustle braiding hair, dog. So, like, I'm killing it, right? I'm killing it, man. And God promoted me. And as he promoted me, I just stayed generous, man. And that's how it happened. And so I learned giving from the penitentiary, man.
Man, so you got this gift to start stuff, to start businesses, organizations, churches. And so, you know, even when you were in jail, you had these side hustles. So what does that look like when you got out? When you got out of prison, what were some of the next things that God began to do on that journey?
That's a good question. So when I got out, I went to school, and in Christianity, well, the dominant Christianity would say, go to seminary, go to a Bible college, mm-hmm. get a degree in something, further that education, get a ministry, MDiv, and then you straight. But that always never set with me, because I was like, okay, I know we all need a biblical foundation, but for 8 years in the penitentiary, I already had a master's in divinity. Because, you know what I mean? I'm in the book. And so I thought, man, you know what? I'm going to go get the little certificate, little piece of paper for biblical studies, but I'm also going to major in business. And so here I am, I'm in school. And I'm like, man, there's something in me. I'm a hustler, right? And I know God want to use that for his kingdom. So, man, I went to college, graduated. And then when we planted our first church with Ron Dostler, I was always doing stuff on the side, bro, like whether it's e-commerce, whether it's, you know, one time jumping into multi-level marketing, bro, like I done did it all. But when we planted our church, one of the things that I had did was started a detail shop. And I was hiring cats from the hood, right? So mm-hmm. I'm hiring all these dudes, man. And then I ended up leaving Omaha to go plant a church in Colorado Springs, right? And that's when it all changed for me. I got the revelation that it wasn't just me. It wasn't just about having a side hustle. It was about a model that God was teaching me that could further his kingdom.
Yeah.
And so when I got, you know what I'm saying? But when I got to Colorado, we ran out of money, right? And so I just felt like the Lord was like, use what you have to start a business. So I went into the crib, looked around, saw some baking soda. I didn't cook up nothing, but saw some baking soda, saw some Dawn soap, a Kirby vacuum, a towel, and I said, man, I'm gonna start another detail company, man. So I went and borrowed $100. Put my suit on that I borrowed from somebody because I don't have a suit. He didn't have a suit at the time. And I went down to the local car dealer and said, hey, my name is Myron Pierce. I'm the owner and founder of Front Range Detailing. Went and got me a one-page website set up by Wix.com. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, yeah, we love to do business with you, but you need dealer tag. Do you have dealer tag? I'm like, yes, sir, I do. I was lying. I didn't have it. But I went and got it the next day, right? And so, bro, that I got my first contract. And so I started, you know, bringing these cars to and fro from my house. And one thing come to another, it's like I'm having all these cars and I can't keep up with the demand. So I end up hiring somebody. And then from there, you know, God blessed it. And I ended up calling a business friend of mine and said, hey, man, like, what if I'm not trying to hit you up for money all the time, but like, what if you could donate this one more time? But this gift that you donate keeps giving every single month. Mm-hmm. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, man, I'm talking about starting a company and I just need seed money. Because I needed to scale. I needed to get into a new building so yeah. that I could continue to demand. And so he gave me 15 racks and we went into a building, 6 bays. We're doing 30, 40 grand a month, 13 employees. And I'm like, God, and I feel like the Lord is like, there's more. Mm-hmm. And after he said that, he put on my heart, I want you to start an entrepreneurship incubator on the south side of Colorado Springs.
Wow.
So we launched this incubator, bro. And in a year, the mayor got behind it, gave us $1 million. 60 businesses have been started over the last, from 2015 up until now. And so that's kind of been my journey of discovering, man, God built me to be a hustler for the kingdom, but he also built me to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. I could be married or two and help develop struggling communities and bring hope to the hood.
So then God brought you back from Colorado Springs back to your home city. It's Omaha a couple years ago. And I know you planted Mission Church. And so one part of the story that I really love, and this is crazy, bro. So the dude that was your cellmate in prison, he now came back to Omaha as well. He's one of your associate pastors at the church. So y'all was like in the penitentiary together. Now he's one of your associate pastors. But on top of that, y'all started this company together a couple of years ago, a roofing company. And I know that like he was in the roofing world, like, you know, ran crews, did sales, all that stuff. I remember I was asking you, so do you do any of the roofing? You're like, yeah, man, this brother ain't getting on the roof. So, but you're like the business mind behind it, setting everything up, strategizing all that. So talk a little bit about that story. That to me, like, is this amazing story. So cellmate.
Yeah.
Co-pastor, like associate pastor, and then business partner.
Yeah. It was my cellie, bro. And God set it up that way because, you know, he was just fresh in prison and just ministered to this cat, man. He came to faith in Christ. I started discipling this dude, man. And eventually I got out, he got out. He did his thing for a few years. I was doing my thing. And one day, you know, it was hailing outside and I hit him up and I was like, yo, man, it's money falling from the sky. We got to get this bag, right?
See the way you think, bro. That's that entrepreneur mind. You're like,
I'm like, we got to get this bag, man. And he like, man, you tripping. I'm like, for real. And I said, let's start this roofing business. And bro, we launched it, man. And we've been in ministry as well. And the way that we structure it is like, I'm number one when it comes to the church. He number one when it comes to the business.
Yeah.
So that we're both, so there's both a give and take. So we start the roofing company, bro, in 2018. We did $500,000. We went from May to December, we did $500,000. 2019, we did $1 million. 2017, my bad. May 2017 until the end of December, we did $500,000. 2018, we did $1 million. 2019, we did 2.1, 2.2, something like that. And we tithed 10% of that.
Woo, to the church.
to the church.
I remember when you told me that, bro, I was like, so, you said, you didn't tell me the amounts. You just said, yeah, so we started this company and we tithed from it. And, you know, we created some jobs and it's helping take care of our families. And so, you know, me being a lead pastor, always trying to creatively find other streams of income for the church so the vision can continue to grow and we can reach more people, right? I was like, man, if you don't mind me asking, like, how much money were you able to tithe from your company last year? And I remember when you told me, man, you were like, man, it was almost $250,000. I was like, what? I was like, bro, for the average church in America doesn't even bring in $250,000. That would, you know, even whatever the size of your church, like, that's a lot of money. That's a game changer. And so that's why I was like, dude, I need to come up there and just spend a day with you, bring some of my business guys up and just come and learn from you and see what you're doing. And I was like totally amazed as I sat around the lunch table and you had all these other business leaders from your church. They were really your staff and your ministry leaders. They all had a side hustle. They all had, and some of them had their side hustle had turned into their like full-time gig.
Yeah, bro. Like I think 60% of my team, we all have side hustles. That was a revelation one day. I was at the staff meeting and I looked around. I'm like, all these fools got businesses.
Yeah.
And it just blew me away. I'm like, this is crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And over the last couple of years, what's happened, bro, is we built a culture by accident.
Yeah. And you know what, bro?
That was by accident.
I think that's one reason why we've been vibing so much. And it's really even making me realize, like, if I look around, you know, in my mind, visually, my staff table, every single one of my staff members, they all have a side business. And I mean, really, it's kind of mandatory. You know, we're doing this podcast talking to urban leaders. And if you're an urban ministry, and many of you guys may even look at a ministry like the one that I get to have the privilege to lead, you're like, oh man, Crossover is this big church. I have like way over 1,000 people in this big building. And it's like, even at our level, like, because we're economically diverse and we, you know, we do have some people that are well-to-do, but we have people that just walk to church from the hood. You know, our staff, you know, none of them are paid as much as they could get paid somewhere else. So we all have to have supplemental income. Even though we work full time at the church, we have, you know, these side hustles and side businesses. And so I know everybody that's probably listening to this that's in some kind of urban ministry or urban leadership in some capacity. If you're an artist, you know, or an entrepreneur, like, you gotta have these multiple streams. And that's, you know, that's something that we have to, as we realize that you said we accidentally did this, you know, I can definitely agree. And I want to begin to harness that, you know, that's one of the reasons,
right,
you know, I got you on here, because I'm learning from you too. Just like I know you say, well, man, I'm learning from you about stuff. We learn from each other. And this is an area that, right, God has gifted you in. And I really feel like more and more people need to hear your voice, because in this next decade, as the gig economy is exploding, and, you know, by 2027, the majority of people are going to just be contract workers or be working for themselves. And if we don't get people ready for that, they're going to get left behind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, man. I think they say 60% of America has a side hustle.
Yeah. Even if they don't realize it, right?
Tell
us a little bit about Mission Church. And as you went back to Omaha, Nebraska, and a lot of people would be like, Nebraska, they got a hood there? Like, tell us a little bit, right, about your city and some of the dynamics you've had right there with your church, and even what God's currently doing, because I know you guys are growing and doing some exciting things, and you're really bending the curve, man, compared to what a lot of other people in a situation like yours, they might be in. But that's because you have this entrepreneurial spirit and you're able to kind of like go farther than, you know, because you're thinking outside of the box.
Yeah, bro. What most people don't know is that like Omaha is the number one deadliest place for an African American to live.
Wow.
And so it's like Nazareth, man. And so it has great disparity. And the other thing that's interesting is how divided culturally we are. Or most cities like a Tampa or New York, or you hit the West Coast or somewhere in Cali, everybody is everywhere, like all different type of colors, you know. Omaha, man, like you're West, you're white with a lot of bread. You're East, you're poor and you're white. You're North, you're primarily African-American. It's the hood. Further South you go, it's Latino. And so you don't have to be diverse if you don't want to be. In fact, out of 10 churches, you take 10 churches in Omaha, two of them are diverse. You know, so there's great disparity when it comes to economically, but then also when it comes to ethnically. And so, you know, when you take that type of context and you plant a church like Mission Church that's multi-ethnic, multi-economic, socioeconomic, multi-generational, it becomes a light on a hill and very attractive to, you know, various groups in our city. So we planted Mission a couple of years ago with the hopes that we could unleash unprecedented hope in every hood in America and beyond. And so because we have that intention, it's really birthed out of myself, like the hopelessness I've experienced and the heart of God for cats like us in urban settings to be redeemed, freed, and then given liberty to lead. It's kind of been my mantra. And so because of that, we said, man, let's be a church that plant churches, and let's not fall into the narrative that because we're in the hood, we have to be broke. Yeah. Or because we're in the hood, our influence can't expand beyond the four walls of our church. And so we've just been on this relentless pursuit of engaging our community, impacting the next generation, raising up entrepreneurs, and being a part of reentry. So because 86% of people who are in jail coming back, right? They're coming back to society. And so those are kind of the four impact areas for us as a church. We started with just about 20, 25 people a couple of years ago. With 300, and we keep going from 300 down because we keep planting churches, which affects our budget. And so we planted four churches in 2 years, and then we've inspired and coached other churches to be planted over the last 10 years. And last I counted, we're up to about 15 churches that have been in that we've either planted directly or indirectly.
So I know you told me that you guys budget at the church, like 75% of it comes from outside sources, like from some of the businesses and from some of the different outside sponsors and some different grants that you guys have. And only 25% right now comes from like donations from within. And that's crazy, man. I mean, in a good way that you guys are getting other streams and other sources. And I mean, your church is just 3 years old. And as those people in the church grow and as they, you know, start these businesses and God blesses them, you know, I know that's going to continue to grow as well. I remember sitting at the table for lunch when I was out there, and one of the guys that just had started a cleaning company was like, man, my goal this year is to give away $50,000, to give back $50,000, half to my church and half to different families in need. And it was just like, wow. So that generosity, influence that you have, it's contagious, man. It's awesome. And so you recently wrote this book, bro, Side Hustle Pastor. So tell everybody a little bit about the book, man. It's an amazing book, and it's not that long. I actually read this, it's less than 100 pages. So I read this on the plane ride home from when I was with you. And man, it's a great, great book with a lot of great steps and great ideas. So talk a little bit about it, man.
Well, bro, I've been a fan of the 100-page book or less concept because I have a short attention span.
What?
As a pastor, as a pastor and an entrepreneur, yeah, man, I'm always on the next thing.
Yep.
So I was having like it was birthed out of conversations like these with pastors and leaders, especially inner city guys. And one thing the Lord hit me with, he's like, man, because I'm always ready to plant the next church. I'll be threatening my staff. I'm like, man, if one of y'all don't make it happen, I'm gonna go make it happen. But like one of the things the Lord did is he said, man, you don't just have to be apostolic when it comes to planting churches. I want you to spend the next 5 to 10 years driving the apostolic will towards creating content for the next generation of urban pastors.
Mm, yeah.
Because I'm tired of learning from people who don't look like me.
Yes.
And we need more content from people like us in the urban context that we can actually look to. And so that's why I started Side Hustle Pastor, the book. That's why I launched it, because I wanted to give simple, easy steps that you can do by reading a book that's only going to take you 45 minutes to read,
mm-hmm,
so that you can go do it like that and build something that you can create culture around when it comes to your church, put food on the table and fund your ministry, which has kind of been my experience.
Yeah, and you give examples in the book. I'm not going to give it away. You got to go get it. It's on Amazon. But you give examples of how many businesses? It's in that thing. Is it like 50 businesses or something? Of like, these are some businesses you could start.
Yeah, and another thing I'm about to do with that is I'm going to write a companion book to it. And I'm going to call it Startups You Can Start. And I'm going to, mm-hmm, take that 50 and I'm going to use it to... Yeah, I'm going to expound on it with stories of people who actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you even steps within that on how to get started in that specific side hustle. So I'm gonna crank that out here. So,
That's good, man. Yeah, it's so needed because so many times us that are in the urban context, we have to look to resources outside. We have to take them and tweak them. And, you know, sometimes that's even harder than coming up with it from scratch. You know what I mean? So it's, right, it's refreshing, man, that there's brothers out there like you that are creating some great stuff in this space. And so what are some other things that you've created, you know, even some tools that you have for churches and pastors and entrepreneurs? Because I know you got a couple things in that space.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing some coaching now around, I'm coaching a lady out of Florida right now on how to set up her entrepreneurship program at her church. Right now, that's available via coaching. I also created the PlanYourVisitChallenge.com, and that's helping urban planters create traffic when it comes to first-time guests in their church so that their church grows. Because if your church grows, you can make more disciples. If you make more, mm-hmm, disciples, you can make an impact.
Yep.
You make an impact and make God happy. The other thing I have as a resource is 100pagebook.com. And that's a resource available for pastors who say, man, I've never written a book, mm-hmm, but I know there's a book in me. I created that resource out of frustration, actually, bro. Like, I was on Facebook one time and saw this well-known, reputable Christian organization that's helping people start launch books. And I'm like, dog, why you got to pay $5,000 to do that?
Ooh,
you know?
It's out of reach for most of us.
Bro, that's out of reach. So I said, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to figure out how to do it quicker, faster, better, mm-hmm, and then give it back to my people for less than 10% of what it would cost. And then on my website, bro, I created a curriculum called a video curriculum called Breaking 50, because most inner city churches in America aren't even 80 people or less. They're 25 or less.
Yeah.
And so we're you know, in our culture, we're dishing out stuff like how to break 200. When the mind of an urban planner, bro, mm-hmm, that's like a mega church.
Yeah. Because they're in a storefront. So, with their family.
In the storefront. With their family, bro. All five of them.
Yep.
You know? And so we're like, man, let's create content around Breaking 50. Also, man, social media is huge in the world. So I created a program called Facebook Marketing for Pastors. And all that's available on the website, leadership stuff on the website, MyRPiz.com. So I'm just trying to, you know, I've written a couple books. I did one on how to be white in the black man's world. trying to help urban pastors think through bridging the gap between Black people and white people so that our churches can look more like heaven. So, yeah.
That's good, man. Talk to them about every inner city.
Yep. So I've over the last decade, bro, I've been to several different conferences, and one of the discontents I heard you say, there is great content, but I have to tweak, then repeat, regurgitate, take it back to my context, figure it out. And then if I got to get to the conference, that's going to cost me 5 racks. If I want to bring somebody I'm developing, that's going to cost me another couple racks. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not affordable. And it takes me too long to contextualize it. And so I thought, so that's one side of the coin. That's one thing I'm discovering. On the other side is a dream side that, you know, for my heart is like every inner city, planting churches in every inner city. And Mission Church just can't get it. We can't get it done alone.
Yeah.
You know, like one of my goals is to plant 50 churches in 5 years and to plant 20,000 churches in 20 years. And so if that's going to happen, we need a macro spearhead that's helping to drive that at a high level. And so what's been put in my heart is to launch an organization called Every Inner City. And it exists to inspire pastors to saturate every inner city with diverse, hope-filled churches. And so part of helping to inspire that means that we have to launch a conference for us, by us. So we're launching a conference called Every Inner City. It's an online conference that's going to happen this year, October 2020. I'm going to make sure it's not during Flavor Fest, because I'm going to be at Flavor Fest.
That's right.
But it's going to be online. It's going to be one day. Tommy, you're going to help with that as well. And so we're going to launch it. My goal is 5,000 pastors from the urban context online one time. And we're going to make it happen, bro.
It's going to be dope, man. I can't wait, bro. So, and you are going to be at Flavor Fest this fall, doing one of the general sessions, and then also doing a workshop in the entrepreneur track. So what's maybe like, give us like a little, like maybe a snippet or a nugget of something you might talk about at Flavor Fest this year.
Bro, you didn't tell me I was doing a general session.
I didn't. I'm telling you right now. I like to do that, man. Just put you on the spot right on the podcast. You know, it was because of all the knowledge you just dropped. You just convinced me right now that, like,
dang, bro,
gotta get this brother to do general session. No, seriously, we love in the general sessions to have some well-known people and then some other people that, like, people need to get to know. And I know people are already finding out about you, but I still think there's a lot of the audience that Flavor Fest reaches that they still don't know who Myron Pierce is, but they're going to know after this year.
Hey, but this is funny, bro. And I tell you this because I'm not trying to, I'm like being serious, bro. When I got out the penitentiary and I got your book in the penitentiary, and then I went down to Flavor Fest for the first time, bro, it was a breath of fresh air because it was like, I didn't know anybody else in the country, a conference that I could go to and not feel alone.
Yeah.
And not feel like, and walk out saying, man, I don't have to contextualize it.
Yep.
So like for when I say it, dog, like you my hero in the faith. And so even just to hear, like, I'm gonna be doing a general session is like, you know what I mean? It just blows my mind. But one nugget on the church planting side or on the, what do you want me to do?
Go ahead, man. You can give us one from both, bro. Since I'm putting you on the spot, your mind's blown now. So just, you know.
My mind's blown, bro. So one paradigm shift for urban planters is we have to stop looking for outside saviors and hoping that they'll come to our table or invite us to their table. And
that's good.
The reason why is the answer to our issues in the urban context will only come from the inside because we're professionals at the problems in our neighborhoods. And so my hope would be that we as urban planters would begin to look at the potential that God has put on the inside of us and then begin to take the limitations off of what we can or can't do because of finances and level up and say, no, if God called me to this vision, whether it's business or urban, if God called me to it, it's because he already put something on the inside of me that's the solution for my context.
Yeah.
And that's not just a good sermon, dog. Like, that's like real life. Like, I'm down the street from my office. We're a 6-7-figure company, bro. But I'm a pastor in the hood. Like, I paid my own way to get to expert. Like, we just went to, I paid my own way, bro. Like, and so I just feel like it's our time, it's our season, and God is using spaces like Flavor Fest, like you who've been doing this thing for 20 plus years as a pioneer, to now invite young cats like us to say, yeah, man, they've been saying this for 20, 25 years. Mm-hmm. It's our time to not segregate ourselves from what's happening. That's not what I'm saying at all. But to realize that we have a collective, important, valuable voice and assets that can further the kingdom of God inside and outside of the urban context.
That's good, man. I'm coming to that session, bro. Well, listen,
yeah, man.
You guys can check out Myron Pierce at his website, myronpierce.com. And on the socials, man, what's your handle, bro?
Myron Pierce.
All right, so check him out, and he's going to be at Flavor Fest this year. So, Myron, man, thank you for your time today, and it's been great building with you, hearing more of your story. And why don't you go ahead, man, and just pray for anybody that's listening right now, wherever they're at in the journey. We got all kinds of people that are listening to the podcast. Some are, you know, just in business. Some are in, you know, leading at their jobs. Some are in ministry. We have artists out there, influencers, all kinds of people in the urban space, man. So just pray a little closing prayer, blessing upon everyone.
Yeah, Father, thank you for the gift of this conversation, and more importantly, this podcast, and for the many people that are listening. Father, you know where every single one of us are, whatever space we're in, we're called to influence it and be the salt and light to our community. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, something that was said would ignite hope in somebody's heart, and to be, we would move from it can't be me to why not me? And would we lead well in our context as pastors, leaders, business leaders? Lord, bless our time, bless the fruit of our time, and may it exponentially multiply into urban contexts across America and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I run with a mind. Flavor Fest runs with a mind. We're about fighting against injustice, racism, and advocating, fighting for reconciliation. So that's why next week we're going to do something that we've never done before with the podcast. We're going to do a part two with Myron Pierce. That's right. He was back in Florida. He's actually live in the building with me. He was on sabbatical. He's got a brand new book that talks about racism and reconciliation. We're going to talk about it next week. He wrote this actually when the news broke about Ahmaud. So here's a little glimpse of next week.
Which tells me we have a long way to go in how we empathize with when lives are cut short.
Yeah.
And we have a large group of people who, as the majority, who don't know what they don't know. And I literally, bro, when I saw the video, I just, like, the only thing I can say to that is the next day I was out on the walk. And I'm literally walking.
Yeah.
And homegirl, I'm walking that way, she walking. And homegirl literally leaves the sidewalk and walks into the street. And then when she passes me, gets back on the sidewalk.
Wow.
And when the worship dude who got killed and gunned down in his own house, mm-hmm. right? Remember that? When that news broke, I had got a knock at the door that night, right? I was scared to answer my door, bro.
Yeah.
And so I think what we sometimes don't realize, even as people of color, is when things happen like that in our culture, traumatically, it does something to us.
So Flavor Fest family, we will be back next Tuesday, part two with Myron Pierce. You don't want to miss it. Set yourself a reminder. You're watching this on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, subscribe. Do me a favor and press that rate button. Put a review. Spread the word about it. Let some people know we want to empower leaders out there in ministry, in music, and the marketplace. That's what Flavor Fest is all about. And hey, if you want to learn more about the Urban Leadership Conference, you can go to flavorfest.org. It's going down this October 22nd through the 25th in Tampa, Florida at Crossover Church. So until next Tuesday, y'all, have an incredible week. One love.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at FlavorFest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.